Welcome to episode 105 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Last week, which for the sake of those of you catching up on the archives at a later date, was September 2007, I was lucky enough to go for a brief business trip to Bangalore, India. I was literally going to be there for just 3 full days and didn't expect to get much free time, but I was hoping to get some shots while I was there, so I took my Canon EOS 5D, my 16-35mm f2.8, my new 85mm f1.2 and my trusty 70-200mm f2.8 lenses. Not exactly travelling light by some people's standards, but for me this is about the bare minimum that I like to leave the house with if I'm thinking of getting any kind of photography done. Anyway, today and next week we're going to look at some of the shots from the trip as I explain my sort of thinking behind the shots and how I work the situation, and also the sounds that we were just played in with were recorded with my smartphone in the streets, the very busy streets of Bangalore, and I just thought I'd include that to give you a feel of what it's like to actually be there. So the main trip for my visit was to meet with a new team that I'm setting up in Bangalore with my day job, and to meet a team that's in a separate company that we've been working with for some time, and I was basically going to sort of have a few business meetings and take the team out for lunch. So, I wasn't going to have a lot of time for photography, but there's always time to sort of catch a little bit of photography here and there, and that's what I'm going to go into today. So some of the people that I have, in that team, some of the people that I've met before, not just during my trips to Bangalore, but also people that have joined us to work with us here in Japan, many of them have become, almost friends. And I think that I tend to think of most of them more, the people that we've met a lot, more as friends than business acquaintances. We'll take a look at a portrait of him in a moment, but the first image that I wanted to look at today is the hand of a friend. That his name is Namdev, and the image is 1527. This painting or dyeing of the hand is called Mehandi, and what we see here is somewhat faded, as it's a few days after it was done. I hear that the hand is dyed using leaf sap on special occasions, and on this occasion it was to celebrate Namdev's getting engaged, which is great. I'm really pleased to hear this. And apparently this is not only decorative, but also because of the sort of disinfecting properties of the leaf sap, it's also done to cleanse the hands for the ceremony too. I tried a few different shots, and to be honest, I don't know if this really works, but it's not a bad photograph. What I did find is some nice natural coloured lace, the yellowy sort of lace, not bleached. And that was over a window, and I asked Nam to put his hand up there, and I shot it with the 85mm f1.2 lens with the aperture at f2 so that I could get some detail of the pattern in the curtains as the light sort of shined through there. I selected an ISO of 200 because it was quite dark in the room, and I was using manual mode to give me full control over the exposure because the scene was backlit. I generally tend to switch to manual mode whenever there's even a slight amount of contrast in there, or any situation where I'm going to have to think or mess around with the exposure. I just find that it gives me more control. I selected a shutter speed of 1/80th of a second because I was hand-holding and sort of keeping the old using the focal length of the lens as the minimum shutter speed for a non-image stabilized shot in mind. You know what I'm talking about. I've mentioned it before, and this is a common sort of guideline or rule of thumb. But you with using an 85 millimeter lens, 1/80th of a second is just about as slow as you want to go without risking some camera shake. But of course, most of us can go slower, and I indeed do shoot some images late that we'll look at later on at slower than this. But it's one of those rules of thumb that I like to keep in mind. In the next image, number 1528, we can see Namdev himself all happy and content now that he's engaged to be married, and that he has that nice sort of manly 300 dpi 7 o'clock shadow there. Great looking guy. I'm happy with the overall sort of yellow feel of the shot, with his shirt almost matching the yellowy lace curtains there. And the nice shallow depth of field from the f/2 aperture, throwing everything from the back of the subject, from the back of his shirt and the sides of his head, to obviously the curtains and everything like that, all out of focus. I did actually lengthen the shutter speed a little bit here to 1/50th of a second. Like I say, kind of contradicting what I just mentioned about the focal length and shutter speed rule. I wanted to keep his face relatively well lit as we were further into the room now, and so there was less light from another window to the left sort of falling onto his face. I just kind of, tightened up a little bit, and I got the shots very sharp still, and so basically I'm happy with the results. After meeting with the larger team, I was heading back to our offices, and a few of the elements outside of the car sort of came together a little, and so I just sort of raised the camera and snapped an image, which is number 1530, in which we can see a small figurine of the Hindu god Ganesha. I'm sure it's not everyone, but every car that I've ridden in India to date has one of these or a variation of it. Very often, the driver will buy a string of flowers like this from a temple or maybe a market like the one we visit a little later, and he'll hang it on the rear view mirror there, and then he'll also sort of run a ring to encompass the figurine itself. And it seems that these flowers are changed sort of anything from daily to sort of once a week or so, and they're very nice natural air freshener or de not deodorant, I can't think of the word, but basically, they make the car smell very, very nice, and it's a pleasant sort of fresh smell, so it's nice that they put them in there. Here I just open the aperture right up to f/1.2, the widest that the lens will go, and with an ISO of 100 shot this for 1/1000th of a second. I had now changed to aperture priority mode actually, in preparation to shoot in various levels of light shortly after this in the Madibala market, and that really, to set the stage for that, a few photos that we're going to look at shortly. Let's just sort of throw up one more, which is image number 1531, that I really shot sort of to give you more of an idea of the scene and the area that we're about to walk through. What we can see here is a small portion of the Madibala market, which is pretty much dedicated to fruit and vegetables, but also has a few other stalls sort of intermingled. I've passed through this market many times during previous visits, and I've never been able to stop the car and get out. And this time, sort of towards the end of a busy day, I was just heading back to the office, and stopping here for 20 or 30 minutes or so was just going to really mean that I'd have to stay 20 or 30 minutes more in the evening to finish up my remaining tasks for the day. And I wasn't with a large group, so I decided that it was time to give it a gro give it a bash basically. I'd actually had this market in mind from the start, and I have to admit that the possibility was even a part of my decision to buy the 85 mm 1.2 lens recently. I left the car with just the 85 mm fitted to my camera and no other lenses. In addition to this first shot, I shot one other of a young man handling the flowers that we saw around the Ganesha figure earlier, but then I kind of moved to my plan, Which is what I really wanted to talk about here, and probably the main takeaway for today. So most of you know that, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, or I sometimes mention this on the Focus Ring podcast as well, but if you've been listening for a while, you'll know that I'm not a big portrait shooter. Part of this is because portraiture has not really interested me so much in Japan, though I will shoot the odd portrait when possible. The other part, and the main part for me, is that I'm pretty uncomfortable with approaching people and asking if I can, photograph them. This is a fear that most of us have or have already overcome. But it's that shyness. I'm not shy to the point that I won't speak to people. I'm a relatively shy person. You wouldn't think so with me doing this podcast and everything, but normal sort of day-to-day stuff, I'll walk around and I can smile and say hello to people, but I generally sort of interact, to that level, and then to actually ask if you want to, if they will allow you to photograph them, obviously there's that risk there, that fear of possible rejection at being told no, and that's the anxious part. I also think that other people, I think about other people's feelings a lot, and possibly even excessively, and I don't like to sort of patronize people, so that's another part that comes into it. It's probably unavoidable to an extent, but, I'd hate to think that people will sort of look at me sort of whizzing around this market with a flashy camera and just sort of, shooting away. And really that's the other thing that I like to try and get past before I really start to sort of make any images. And it's all been a big sort of anxiety thing for me so far, as I know it is for many people. So really, during the first few visits to India, I shot many images from a moving car, including some of my portraits that I've put up on the website. But the more I think about this, the more I pretty much hate this way of shooting. It really just seems like cold and uncaring, to be honest. And I'm thinking now that it might even be possibly just sort of downright rude. And the more that I come to terms with my own anxiety and asking, the less I'm prepared to just snap shots off from a distance like a sort of heartless sniper. And I didn't do any of that kind of photography this time. I don't know if putting that behind me is the right way to say this, but that's the way I'm thinking. My plan for this mini shoot was to get as close to the subjects as time would allow, and my tactic was to sort of add a buffer. After the first two shots that I made sort of quickly after getting out of the car, I decided to simply walk through a section of the market and let people see me with the camera sort of hanging around my neck, and just let them get used to the idea that there's this foreigner in the market and photographing it and the people within there. And I was with a guy from my team, actually, the team that I've just set up over there. His name was Shashi, and we basically did just that. We just sort of took a steady walk through the market. I don't know if you can hear, there's lots of sort of noises outside tonight, so I don't have time to keep stopping and sort of let that go by, so forgive me for that if you can hear sort of, motorbikes going past and stuff. Anyway, I made a point of doing what I'm comfortable with first in this market, and that was just smiling and sort of saying hello to the people as I walked through. And this sort of, to me, made a stronger point. What I was trying to do was to not shoot any photos at this stage, and really just let them sort of get used to me being around. As I passed, I sort of said hello, and a few of the people that are in the images that we'll look at in a few moments, I could see them there, and they looked incredibly excited. I really wanted the prospect of getting these photographs. Was kind of exciting me, but I kept the camera firmly sort of down and in front of me, just hanging on its strap around my neck, idle there, but for all to see. And we sort of got to the end of the street, and probably a steady 10-minute walk or so. And that actually marked the end of this portion of the market. And I'd not shared my strategy, my buffer sort of strategy with Shashi. So, you know, at this point, he asked me if we wanted to go back. He asked me if I wanted to cross the road and walk back along the other side, obviously to see more of the market. But like I say, I'd not shared my strategy. The reason I'd not mentioned this was because I didn't want to put any pressure on myself to sort of come up with the goods or actually force myself to speak to people on the way back, because that would just add more sort of pressure to my already pretty anxious frame of mind. So basically, though, I said no, of course. I didn't want to go across the other side of the road. And we continued to walk back through the same stretch of market, which was all part of my plan. So the first image that that I shot on that walk back through the market is probably the best portrait shot that I've made to date, and that is image number 1532. I had a brief exchange with a man who told me his name was Ataula, and I told him my name and sort of, you know, a few brief words, and then I'd really asked if I could photograph him, and he obliged, but unfortunately it wasn't sharp. You know, I made a mess of the photo. I'm not sure if this was because of my anxiety or just the fact that I'm a bad photographer, but I think what happened was either I moved or he'd moved, and with the very, very shallow depth of field that I was shooting at, it meant that the focus was off, and it was off by enough to render the shot pretty much useless. And this is a great shame, because the photograph itself looks like a great portrait until you sort of look at it closely. I remember feeling, you know, that I wanted to shoot a few more images, but I have to admit that the main thing on my mind was photographing the man sitting next to him on their clothes stall, who turned out to be Ataula's father. And this is the man who we see in the photograph. I'd raised the ISO to 400, as most of the subjects were under cover of their stalls, and it was not a bright day. It was pretty overcast, in fact, and it had been raining on and off. Because of the varying levels of opacity in the plastic covers on the market stalls, though, you know, I decided to just go for aperture priority for speed. You know, I didn't want to mess around with the exposure very much. And I'd not anticipated any troublesome sort of high contrast conditions. I opened the aperture up to f1.6 for a nice shallow depth of field, and this gave me a shutter speed of 1/120th of a second, which was just right. I got the focus spot on this time, and this amazing man's eyes are sort of perfectly sharp, along with the majority of his face, and the tip of his nose and eyebrows are just starting to get a little bit soft, but that's fine. It's the eyes and that wonderfully aged complexion that I really wanted to capture. And I feel that I did that just how I wanted to. No disrespect to this gentleman's son, but, I had messed up. If I'd have messed up this shot, I would have been, you know, much, much more disappointed. It went well, though, and I feel very lucky to have sort of had the chance to photograph this incredibly, you know, amazing-looking man. And, you know, one of the wonders of digital, of course, is being able to check what you've shot immediately, but this also allows us to show the subjects immediately too, which is what I did at this point. As I showed the men their photographs, they sort of smiled, and the older man did one of those sort of Indian head shakes that's like a cross between a nodding and a shaking of the head. And it took me some time actually to get used to this, but it's done as a sign of agreement and sort of appreciation often. And it made me sort of really, really happy. I'd not only been able to make a few incredible photographs, I'd made a connection and some sort of human, you know, there was a human connection there. And I'd also made someone else happy too. So I shook both of the men's hands and thanked them for allowing me to photograph them, and I moved on. Anyway, it seems like my strategy was working. I had smiled and said hello to these gentlemen on my way past the first time, and it was actually the son that had started talking to me on our way back. And I'm sure that this was because I'd shown a little bit of interest on my way past. I'd smiled and sort of said hello. And, you know, this was all sort of starting to come together. And I'm sure that that was the reason why they called out to me on the way back. And, you know, after all, they're not just, if they were just open to talking straight away, they'd probably have called me the first time, right? So a few paces further along, and I was called out to again. And this time it's by a group of people at a fish stall that I'd also seen on the first run. And in fact, these people, I think they're all members of the same family. They tried to sell me some fish on our way out, and I'd smiled and sort of politely refused and walked past. And this time they'd realized that I wasn't interested in buying fish, but they'd seen the camera. They'd probably seen me photographing the gentleman that we just looked at. And this time they just went straight to the sort of, hey, photograph us with our fish sort of mode. So, of course, being asked to photograph them was something that I'd not expected, but I was more than happy to go along with. The first image of this family that I wanted to share with you is number 1534. Here we see the young man with his large fish and the dad there to the right of the photo with another large fish sort of showing me a cross-section, probably appealing to me as how fresh it is. And now, you know, he has the, you know, the dad has a nice sort of photo expression and, you know, the pose. But we can see that the young man is kind of protesting at being pulled around by the guy behind him, probably Big Brother. And the neat thing about this is that to my mind, the expression on the guy's face as he sort of makes that cutthroat gesture over the younger man's shoulder. And, you know, they've got their line of sight sort of has a connection with me, the photographer, but they've also sort of opened up and they're having a bit of a mess around with each other, and sort of, you know, it's all just making for a really nice sort of interactive exchange. As there were, a few people in the shot, I'd deepened the depth of field slightly by changing the aperture to f2.8, and I was further away than the previous shot, so I didn't really need to go much more than that. That was going to be enough to get them all sharply in focus. And the shutter speed at this aperture with an ISO of 400 was 1/200th of a second. In the next shot, number 1535, made a few moments later with exactly the same settings, it's also a nice sort of interactive scene, you know, with the guy in the back placed his hand over the dad's head this time, making fun of him a little bit. The young man's face was now a serious kind of tough guy face, probably what he wanted to do from the start and the cause of his look in the previous image. And the dad's expression's pretty much unchanged. We also now have another older gentleman coming into the frame in the far right, which adds another element of interest. At this point, another brother, I believe, came close enough to sort of join in the fun, and I shot image number 1536. With a nice sort of half smile, this young guy is a great-looking subject too, and you can tell by his pose and his clothes, the chains, etc., that he's kind of playing a tough guy too, like the younger brother. And this shot, in my mind, has a nice sort of gritty yet pure feel to it. But I kind of regret chopping off the guy's hands. I did this in another shot of the younger brother as well that we'll look at next week. We'll look at the more close-up next week of the younger brother. But I did it in a very similar shot of the younger brother as well. I'm not too worried about this, but having framed the shot this wide, I probably should have at least tried going the whole way out and including the hands. It may have taken us too far from the face, though, So probably I should have got a little bit closer than rather than moving out. I could do that, obviously, by cropping in post-processing, but I haven't bothered taking a look at that yet. I'm still quite happy with the shot, though. And for this, I'd opened the aperture up a little again because there was just the one subject. I'd gone open to f1.8, and that gave me a shutter speed of 1/500th of a second, still at ISO 400. And at this point, what I'm going to do is, we've just crossing the 26-minute mark. I'm going to stop it there. I've got a lot of shots that I want to look at again next week. So to save us doing one really sort of mammoth show, I'm going to stop it there and we'll pick up the story again next week. I hope you've enjoyed this first part of the two-part series. I learned a lot from my own experiences here and gained so much from a sort of human interactive perspective. It didn't all go my way though, but that's fine. And you know, the last thing that I want to do is upset people. But we'll go into more details about that next week. Remember that the documentary/photojournalism assignment is still on with a few more days left to get your entries in. You'll be able to upload your entries until the end of this coming Sunday, which is September the 30th. And at that point, I'll lock the galleries and you won't be able to upload your images any further after that. And we'll start the voting process for 2 weeks. So far, there aren't so many entries uploaded, but I'm hoping that this is because everyone else, like me, is kind of holding off uploading their images because they're undecided as to which one to upload, or maybe hoping to shoot something better before the deadline. I also think that this assignment has been much more difficult for most to shoot for, including myself, so I was expecting a drop in participation anyway, but it would be great if you could surprise me here. So please do get your entries in if you're sort of sitting on the fence on something. And that's about it for today. The music that we were played in with and are being played out with is called Creation by a band called Shams. And with that, all that remains to be said is thanks for listening and you have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.
PhotoCastNetwork.com, your photography resource in the podosphere. PhotoCastNetwork.com.